Welcome to the History Reviewed channel, where we analyze the lies and deceptions of history. In Africa, you always hear about poverty. Oh, the poverty of the little black children. The people need food. Donate for the food. Donate for the children. Give them money for AIDS and medicines. They don't have that. And so it goes on. And then, on top of it all, in South Africa, the only political game that's ever played in the mass media, in the liberal Jewish mass media, it's always the same old story. And the politicians, of course. Everybody says, oh, the black people, they need more land, they need more of this, they need more of that, and they must get it from the white people. The white people have got all these things. The whites have got all the wealth of the country. We must go and take the land from that farmer, that white farmer who's busy farming, let's say, maize. We got to take his land and give it to the black people so that they can farm, because they're budding farmers. And all you'll ever hear about is that the problem is poverty. The solution is to take, stop right there, take is a modern word that's a synonym for steal. We've got to steal it from the white people. So, but nobody calls it stealing, okay? We got to take it. We're just going to take it from you. You're never going to get it back. And by the way, we want to take it from you and we don't want to pay you a cent. So this is the main line that's always coming through in this country. So this is the main debate all the time. And even this fool that you see in front of you, this is F.W. de Klerk. He's our last president. And he said, peace does not fare well where poverty and deprivation reign. It does not flourish where there is ignorance and a lack of education and information. Oh, what rubbish he's talking there. But he also was now onto this bandwagon. Yeah, sure, the problem is poverty. And the reason that we got war is because of the poverty problem. No, that's missing out all the other things that have been forgotten in history about who's really behind what. But anyway, this is the main debate. So let me show you today a little bit about Africa that you won't see in the Jewish New York Times or Der Spiegel in Germany. And by the way, Der Spiegel in Germany is owned by Jews. Just like the New York Times is owned by a Jewish family. You won't see this on the BBC, the British Communist Network there. You won't see it there. You won't see it on CNN. Let's show you the billionaires of Africa. Here is a list of Africa's billionaires as at 2020, pretty much. And here we go. Here's the first guy. At the top is a black guy. His name is Aliko Dangote. And his net worth in US dollars is $10.3 billion. Which for the South Africans, let's take a look and see what $10.3 billion would be in South African rands. That would be $147 billion. South African rands. So Aliko Dangote worth $10.3 billion US dollars. Number two, Mike Adenuga. He's worth $9.2 billion US dollars. Now these two top guys here on this list, they are Nigerians. And Nigeria is the biggest, most populous black country on the planet. It's got a population of over 200 million black people. So these guys have made their money in Nigeria, which used to be a British colony. Number three, oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Is that a white guy at number three? Nikki Oppenheimer. Ah, the Jew, Nikki Oppenheimer. And he's worth $7.3 billion. And this comes from Diamonds. The original Oppenheimer, he cornered the diamond market in the world. And with Anglo-American, basically Anglo-American is like the world's highest level criminal operation, really. They basically cornered diamonds across the world, and they control the entire diamond market in the world. And they see to it that diamonds are sold in such a way that they retain value. It's probably one of the biggest scams on earth. Anglo-American, Oppenheimer, Jews, and now they're busy buying up farms. So there's your first rich white man. So isn't it funny these blacks don't say, oh goodness, we need to take land. Instead of taking it from the common white farmer who's farming, say, maize and cattle, you know, why don't we go and take Nikki Oppenheimer's land? Nobody says that, eh? You'll never hear that story. Right, next guy. So Nikki Oppenheimer is the number one from South Africa. But I'm going to tell you another little secret. Is that these lists of these people on here, in most of these lists, the criteria for wealth, listen to this, listen to this, the criteria for wealth and getting on these lists is that your money has to be in public companies. There are people who don't appear on these lists, even in South Africa, even white South Africans who don't appear on these lists. Why? Because their money isn't in a public company. But nobody ever told you that, hey? You think that these are genuinely the richest people, and you think that they're the only ones that are rich. Like, if you look at the list of the richest people in the world, you'll never, never, never see the Rothschilds, like, at the top of the list with however many trillion dollars they've got. You'll never see that because their money is all hidden away. These rich people have got 1,001 tricks for hiding a whole bunch of their wealth. And even this wealth that you're seeing here, this is not even the full thing. So we'll get back to the super rich and money laundering. I'll show you a few things about the rich scum of the earth. And meanwhile, the white person's just trying to keep his job, pay off his mortgage, try and put his children through school, and try to have a little bit of money so that when he's no longer a slave for these dogs, that he manages to live out the rest of his life and at least be able to pay some of his bills. So here is, like I say, Nikki Oppenheimer is the richest white guy, and that's in quotes, in Africa. But don't think that those numbers are the full story. There's more to it than that. Here are some other names. The next guy is a guy called Sawiris or something. I think some of these names are Egyptians. You'll see number four and number seven is the same family. And you'll see here's another guy called Rebrab. And these guys, I think they are in Egypt. The next white guy on the list from South Africa is number five, Johann Rupert. Luxury goods. He's worth $5.3 billion. Let's just stop there with luxury goods. His daddy made money out of cigarettes and liquor, I think it was. And he basically said, well, when people are struggling and they're poor, they smoke more and they drink more. So that's how he started his business. And that's how the Rupert family became very rich. It is these same Ruperts who absolutely hated Dr. Hendrik Verwoerd, who ruled South Africa during apartheid. They absolutely hated him. Rupert is probably, on this list, is probably the only true white man on this list. But of course, he's only here because he is also very cozy with the Jews. And I stand to be corrected, but I think we can actually dig into people's links here. Because what we're looking at here is Forbes, by the way. So here is Johann Rupert and family, and net worth is 5.3 billion. However, they've adjusted it for the beginning of 2020, and it's 6.5 billion. That's another 1.2 billion up in just a few months, it seems to me. That's like another billion US dollars in the last year. Oh, and take a look at who his buddy is. Take a look down here where my cursor is. Oh, look at that. Key connections. Who are the key connections of Johann Rupert? Oh, my goodness. Nicky Oppenheimer. Can you believe? He's a big buddy of Nicky Oppenheimer, the Jew. Might actually be interesting to see who some of these other guys' key connections are. Let's just quickly take a look here. Okay, this guy, I don't know who this person is that he's linked to. Let's stick to the South Africans. And just for fun, let's see who Nicky Oppenheimer's key connections are. Well, it seems he's linked to another guy called Agarwal. Now, I don't know who that is, but could be. I'm not even going to speculate. Let's move on. So let's go a little bit further down, and here we see some guys who may be Egyptians, 6 and 7. And there's number 8. Take a look at this guy. His name is Koos Becker. Koos Becker, this is a South African, yet another white guy, true white guy. He's worth 2.3 billion US dollars. And that's because he started a bank. Started a bank here. And let's take a look at who his buddies are. So his buddy, there you see, key connections here on Forbes. Key connections, Nicky Oppenheimer and family, and also Nas Pash. But there you can see key connections. Oops. My goodness, they know these Oppenheimers, eh? Isn't it funny? All the buddies of the Oppenheimers are so rich. Just out of pure interest, these ones at number 8, the top one at number 8, Isabel dos Santos. She might be a type of mixed race person from Angola. And she's also worth 2.3 billion. Oh, I see there's a bunch of people here who are all ranked as 2.3 billion. So you can see who they are, but they're in different countries. Now we'll go carry on. We're at number 8. We're still at number 8. Others who are also rich. This guy at number 8, he's also at number 8 along with the other white guy that we spoke about. Now look at him. He, can you believe, is a Zimbabwean. Zimbabwe, a country which is totally imploding, it's poor beyond belief. This guy is a billionaire in that country. So that shows you. Even as their own people are starving, here are their own billionaires in their own countries. Never once will you hear people say, oh, well, you know, maybe that black guy should help the blacks. No, it's always got to do with, oh, you remember the whites? It's always the whites. And as you carry on down the list, also at number 8 is another black name, Patrice Motsepe. 2.3 billion. Another black South African. Here we go. This is the richest black South African. And he's, if we compare him between 2019 and 2020, he's not had a bad year. He's made $300 million in the last year. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. I feel sorry for him. He only made $300 million in the last year. So let's take a look at his buddies. Oh, my goodness. His buddies are Nikki Oppenheimer and family. And you see that Sanlam. Sanlam used to be an Afrikaans powerhouse. The Broederbond, the secret society that took over apartheid. They created many different companies, and one of them is Sanlam. So Patrice Motsepe, big buddies with Nikki Oppenheimer and Sanlam. So, oh my goodness, is that a coincidence or what? Then we see somebody else at 13. I don't know who this guy is. I suspect it's probably from North Africa. 14, don't know who this guy is. I'm just going to jump through the guys that I don't know and see who we can see. Aha, at number 19. Number 19, another white guy. And this guy, I think you'd pronounce his name Michiel Leroux. Here's another white guy from South Africa. Ah, this is the guy. This is the guy who founded the bank. I think the other guy is the guy linked to Naspers. And who's Michiel Leroux's buddies? How was it that this white guy could start a bank? And he's now worth $1.3 billion. Also, not too bad a year that he's had. He's been able to add about $200 million to his bank account in the last year. And who are his buddies? Oh, goodness, his buddies. Nikki Oppenheimer, Johann Rupert. Is this a coincidence or what? So that'll give you an idea of some of the rich in Africa. So that'll give you an idea of the billionaires that are living here in Africa. You can see some whites, you can see a whole bunch of blacks. Take a look at Wikipedia. Wikipedia also has a list of the top billionaires in Africa. It's pretty much the same. And here they list the countries. And you can see here the first two are Nigerians. Then Oppenheimer, the Jew, South Africa. Here they list it as 7. Here they actually list his wealth as 7.5 billion. It is interesting that in 2018, Nikki Oppenheimer was worth $8.8 billion. I doubt he lost it. Chances are it's moved somewhere else, and it's now just not being counted because either it's outside the country or something else. Oh, these people have got all kinds of tricks. These people, these rich that we work for and look up to, all kinds of tricks. You'll see all sorts of things. So if we go down this list, we see Johann Rupert, we can see Koos Bekker, those are South Africans. So on the top 10 list for 2019 here, you can see that two of the top billionaires in Africa are actually Nigerians, and four are South Africans. One is from Zimbabwe. And as you can see, somebody from Angola. And it turns out the one guy is from Egypt, another is from Algeria. But South Africa's billionaires make up four out of the top 10. And that's just that little group. Let's take a look at another list. And then you'll start seeing some of the people that aren't being counted. Ha ha ha. Ah, the rich, they got so many tricks up their sleeve. So many tricks. Here is a list. Here are 24 of the richest people in South Africa. And this is from July 2019. So it says, while Forbes has ranked only five South Africans as dollar billionaires in 2019, when counting in local currency, the list becomes significantly longer. And it's in here that they talk about, it says, so in total, 14 South African-born individuals could be classified as billionaires. Then it says there are 94 centi-millionaires, people worth 100 million and more. So there are 14 billionaires in South African rands and 94 people worth more than 100 million in South Africa. All these people are loaded, business is going well. And it says here, South Africa's five richest. According to Forbes, Nicky Oppenheimer is the richest man in the country. He's joined by Johan Rupert, Patrice Motsepe, Koos Becker. This Koos Becker is from Naspers, I think. Naspers went super duper liberal and went to China as well. So it carries on here. I just want to see if there's anything more because, this is what I wanted to show you. This section here. In 2019, UK Sunday Times Rich List pointed to several local billionaires who call the United Kingdom home and who aren't tracked by Forbes, including, here we go, South African Swazi businessman Nathan Kirsch. So Nathan Kirsch is a Jew who came from South Africa and he went to the British, we could call it the British colony of Swaziland. He's the billionaire who literally runs a small African country. This same Jew also donated millions of rands to Julius Malema, who walks around talking about killing whites, stealing the land of whites, etc. Nathan Kirsch. So you get, there are lots and lots of people who made huge amounts of money in South Africa and they've left the country and they live in other places. Nathan Kirsch is the Jew who played a good role in helping Julius Malema. And so he's not counted as a rich South African because he's in Swaziland. Then there are other names. Manfred Gorvy. And that name, I think, upon closer inspection, seemed to be English. And now they live in England. Then there's Doe Steyn. Doe Steyn, Afrikaans. But stinking rich in South Africa, but doesn't live here anymore. So he's not counted as one of the African billionaires. There are plenty of billionaires who came out of here and they don't live here anymore. Even though some of them have got investments here. So, for example, here they talk about Steyn. Steyn is listed as having a net worth of 16.7 billion rand, which should put him on the Forbes billionaire list. But there it goes. His fortune is not held in publicly listed companies, making him ineligible. So that is among the little, that's just one of the tricks. There are lots of tricks. The rich have got lots and lots of tricks. And these are just among the tricks of why their wealth doesn't seem to be as much as it is. And there don't seem to be as many wealthy people as you think there are. The truth is, there are lots of rich people, and their names don't ever get mentioned. Like I say, the Rothschilds, at the very least, are probably the only trillionaires on the planet. At the very least, they're worth $1 trillion. You'll never see them. You'll never see them on the listed anywhere as the richest people in the world. Never. You'll never hear that. Never. And it goes on to list some other rich. There is Dis-Chem. It's a big sort of wholesale pharmacy company owned by Saltzman. Those are Jews, and they together have a stake of 22 billion. 22 billion rand. And it says another under the radar billionaire is Cartrack CEO Zach Calisto. He's worth about 3 billion rand. Then they go into the rand billionaires. Billionaires as calculated in rand terms. Let's see here what we've got here. So here we see their values in rands. So Nikki Oppenheimer, 100 billion rand. Johann Rupert, 77 billion. Now, here's another name I've not seen. Ivan Glasenberg. That's a suspicious name there. Koos Bekker, Patrice Motsepe, Alan Gray. I think Alan Gray is also one of these English. You get a couple of people with British and English backgrounds who also became billionaires. Alan Gray is one of them. There's Michiel Leroux, Do Steyn, finally listed here. Steven Saad, Christo Wiese, Yanni Mouton. Here are the Saltzmans. Another one that we haven't heard of for a long time, Mark Shuttleworth. Mark Shuttleworth, the creator of Linux Ubuntu, I think. I think Linux Ubuntu is his baby. He's worth 9.3 billion rand. And to my knowledge, he lives in London. Laurie Dippenaar. Raymond Ackerman. Ackerman's another Jew. Pick and Pay Stores. That's Ackerman. Adrian Gore. Not quite sure of his background. Then we got Cyril Ramaphosa here. Our president makes it to the list. Our black Jewish president. We'll get to that topic. Then we've got G.T. Ferreira, Gus Attridge, Marcus Uister, another Afrikaans name, Wendy Applebaum. Sounds a little Jewy to me. Sounds a little Jewy. Desmond Sacco, Giovanni Ravasotti. Might be Italian. And then we got Callisto. So even by our stupid South African rand standards, we've got 24 billionaires in our stupid money. But there's money floating around Africa all the time, and yet all the time in the mass media, in the politics, you just hear, "Ah, the poor black people, and we need to take, not steal. We need to take from the white people, the common white people. We need to take from them." Nobody ever says, "Ah, but there are all these billionaires. Why aren't they tithing? Do like the Christians? Why aren't they tithing some of their wealth to the blacks? You know, if you're making 300 million a year, why don't you take 300 million a year and go give it to the black people yourself instead of always just carrying on, focusing all the hatred on kill the whites, kill the Boer, kill the this, kill the that. Let's look at Mugabe, who died recently, the president of Zimbabwe. This son of a bitch, this guy was stinking, stinking rich. Now, at the time that he died, I just want to show you some of his assets. At the time that he died, the Zimbabwe government said, oh, they'll reveal the truth about his real wealth. And they revealed it recently, and they said, oh, he was just worth $10 million. Big load of rubbish. Total rubbish. Even in poor countries like Zimbabwe, there are blacks who are loaded, loaded, my friends. And let me tell you, all these people in parliament, South African members of parliament, they've got buddies in other countries. They are doing diamond deals, mining deals in all different parts of Africa. These people are so loaded. These blacks are so loaded, and they don't even make these lists. They are loaded. When you go and find out more about them, you won't believe the wealth that's sitting in their hands. And all the time you'll hear just the same old drumbeat. Oh, you see, the poor blacks and those rich whites, we've got to take it away from the rich whites. Meanwhile, these other scum-sucking pigs, they don't donate even 1 cent. They don't donate 1 cent to even their own people. But the problem always, the problem is the white man. Isn't that a funny thing? So let me just show you here from a website, money.com. They show some of the assets of Robert Mugabe. He had assets around the world. This thing says the front entrance to JC Castle, which contains a property owned by Zimbabwean President Robert Mugabe and his wife Grace in Hong Kong's Tai Po District. There you go. So there's the front entrance to JC Castle in Hong Kong, owned by the Mugabes. Mugabe's son at one point even wanted to start, here's the old scum-sucking pig Mugabe and his money-grubbing wife. She used to be his secretary, so obviously he was boinking her a lot, and that's where that one came from. But anyway, these people, Mugabe's son, sometime before his death, was even talking about launching an airline. These people are not short of money. Julian Assange, the Australian, did the world great services by getting and publishing classified documents. It is probably one of the greatest contributions ever made by anybody in recent times. It may be the ultimate contribution that any white man has made in the time of the internet. This man has published unbelievable numbers of secret documents which go to show, which when you look at them more closely, you'll realize how much the media is lying to you, how much governments are lying to you, etc. So on this website where they've got WikiLeaks stuff, in 2001, and this is before Mugabe seized farms, and Mugabe seized many farms from white farmers that he took for himself. So before then, in this secret document, which I think went to America or whatever, from August 29th, 2001, in the secret document, in this cable, it says, classified by political officer Todd Falk for reasons. And it says, below are Embassy Harare's responses. I suspect this may be the American embassy. It says, the full extent of President Mugabe's wealth, the full extent of President Mugabe's assets are unknown, but are rumored to exceed $1 billion in value, the majority of which are likely invested outside Zimbabwe. Inside Zimbabwe, the bulk of Mugabe's assets are reported to be in the form of real property. He and his wife have six residences, including a multi-story mansion still under construction in Harare, in addition to a number of farms around the country. And this is before he seized even other farms. And it goes on to talk about his nephew. And what else does it say here? It says they don't have the resources or expertise to determine the nature and extent of Mugabe's overseas assets. They are rumored to include everything from secret accounts in Switzerland, the Channel Islands, the Bahamas, to castles in Scotland. Let me pause there. I think he also owned a hotel in Britain. Even as he's busy telling you what shit the British are and how Zimbabwe will never be a British colony again, he had a hotel in England, I think. And let me tell you something from the days of African crisis. In the days of African crisis, at one point, we managed to find links to the total amount of money that has been given by Western governments to Africa. And as I recall from memory, because I'd have to go into my database at some point to go and find the actual original articles, but as I recall from memory, the Western world has given, and I'm talking this is about 10 years ago already, the Western world had given $150 billion to blacks in Africa to assist them. But here's the kicker. The presidents of Africa, among those who not only pocketed money, etc., but African presidents have stashed away about a third of that money in Swiss bank accounts. So out of the $150 billion that was given to blacks, to black African countries to assist them, probably a third of it is sitting in Swiss bank accounts run by presidents of Africa. They've been stuffing their pockets left, right, and center. Aha, something else here. You see this thing. Speaker of Mugabe's associates, Speaker of Parliament Mnangagwa, John Bredenkamp and Billy Reitenbach. You see this name, Billy Reitenbach, and possibly even John Bredenkamp. I'm not totally sure of him. But this Billy Reitenbach is a South African. A rich South African scumbag who did lots of dealing, who had lots of deals with the Zimbabwe government. It says here, John Bredenkamp and Billy Reitenbach are known to be major beneficiaries of Zimbabwe's military contracts and mining concessions in the DRC. That's the Congo. That's in the center of Africa. Stinking rich. And they are presumed to channel some of that wealth to Mugabe. How much wealth is generated or held by these individuals is unknown. Mnangagwa, Mnangagwa is the current president. Mnangagwa, and he's a crook as well. He's a murderer. He was doing all the killing for Mugabe. He was Mugabe's right-hand man. Mnangagwa is the chairman of the First National Bank of Congo and likely has a stake in the bank's management contract with a Zimbabwean firm. Bredenkamp's company, Tramalt, is reported to have 20% stake in the DRC mining parastatal, which granted substantial mining concessions to Zimbabweans. The Zimbabweans fought a war. There was a war in the center of Africa. The Zimbabweans played an enormous role in it, and afterwards they were busy loading up on mining concessions, etc. All of this stuff, you never heard it in the mass media. You never heard it in the mass media. We have no indications of significant movements of assets into or out of Zimbabwe. We have no information on money laundering through banks. Mugabe has three young children. Just browsing here. There's, it looks like, We have no details on financial assets. It says, we admit this is very thin gruel, but we believe it will take extraordinary means, both sources and methods, to develop the detailed responses sought. We leave it to Washington to determine the value of deploying additional assets, both commercial and intelligence ones, to acquire this. So this was a secret, there it goes, this was a secret telegram from the American Embassy in Harare to Washington, D.C. How rich is Mugabe? And they came up with that it's in excess of $1 billion. Now that he's dead, Mnangagwa says, no, he was only worth like $10 million. Big nonsense, total junk. So here's a photo of Grace Mugabe, his wife, communist bitch, and they're always going on, yeah, the white man, steal from the white man, take his land. Then they steal the land, they take it, they keep some of it for themselves and their buddies. Ha, that's Africa. Lots and lots and lots and lots of wealth floating around Africa in countries that apparently are poor, but when whites were there, it was very, very wealthy. Let's take a look at the black Jewish president of South Africa. Oh, he's grinning. That's a good grin. If I was worth $450 million, I'd also be grinning like that. Here on his Wikipedia page, they only say he's worth $450 million. Yeah. Lots of hidden things. Let's take a look at another website. Five ultra-rich black South Africans. Let's take a look at ultra-rich black South Africans. And by the way, nobody ever asks them, you know, how much tax are you paying? How much are you donating to your people? You know, and you know, why does everything have to come out of the white man's pocket, hey? So it says, the five ultra-richest blacks in South Africa. Top one, Patrice Motsepe, worth $1.1 billion. We've seen that before. There we see, very happy-looking man, black Jew over here, Cyril Ramaphosa. Well, you know, when you've converted to Judaism, and you're the president, and you're loaded, ha, ha, ha. Oh my goodness, what is that? Did Ramaphosa just make 2.5 billion rand? Let's go take a little look at this. My goodness. Back in June 2015, he had a real lucky strike. It says, South African deputy president is said to make in excess of 2.5 billion rand, which at the time was $200 million, from the sale of his investment company. And this is according to Forbes. And blah, blah, blah. But they're all very much money just rolling into their pockets. Here's another fellow, Tokyo Sekwali. Tokyo Sekwali. He's worth in US dollars $200 million. That makes it $3.2 billion. I'll tell you a few things about good old Tokyo Sekwali. His wife is a white woman, so he married a white woman. And the same Tokyo Sekwali was trying to mimic Donald Trump with Donald Trump's The Apprentice. So they created a dumb South African version of Donald Trump's The Apprentice, which I quite liked. And he was the sort of Donald Trump. So he was the one saying, you know, you're fired, you know. So Tokyo Sekwali, white wife, a black pretender to be Donald Trump. Yeah. And here's another guy. I don't know the background about this guy, but his name is Sifo Nkosi. Looks like it's possibly mining related. There's another fellow. This guy is Nleko. This guy might have gained some of his wealth through BEE, which is Black Economic Empowerment. Basically, it means if you've got a black skin, that you can then get part of a company. They basically give you the whites and Jews basically give you a portion of the company. And so he's worth 1.7 billion. So that'll give you an idea of just some of the current wealth that's floating around Africa, but you won't see it anywhere in liberal circles. No way, man. No way. Let me add in a few other people who are not in South Africa, but they're from South Africa. They got loaded in South Africa. Here is Saul Kersner. Saul Kersner is worth $600 million. Saul Kersner is a Jew. He got stinking rich in South Africa in the time of apartheid. And the way he did it was he started a South African version of Las Vegas. Basically, all these Jewish tricks are the same. They play the same game in every country. It's just a rerun of the same old tricks. He did a miniature Las Vegas type thing in South Africa in one of the black homelands. So gambling and all these other things were outlawed in South Africa. So what Kersner did was he set up shop in a black homeland, and you had whites rushing from apartheid South Africa to go and do all the naughty stuff in the black homeland in Sun City, run by the Jew Saul Kersner. And Kersner pulled out of South Africa. It says his parents were Jewish Russian immigrants and his family started a chain of hotels. This is when he was in South Africa. And Saul Kersner then left South Africa, and the last I heard, he was doing stuff in the Bahamas. So there you have it. But Saul Kersner, yet another one of many stinking rich Jews that left South Africa. In the days when I had Jewish friends in Israel, they told me that among the wealthiest Jews that come into Israel are Jews from South Africa. Oh, these people had a great time. Classified as white under apartheid, had all the benefits of being white while they were busy working secretly behind the backs of the whites. And then when the going is no longer good, they just pack their bags, go set up shop in some other country and start the same old bunch of tricks again. And here's another name that you don't really associate with South Africa, but it is South African, Elon Musk. Elon Musk comes from South Africa. He was born in Pretoria. Elon Musk, probably the richest guy on our entire list. Elon Musk is worth $26.8 billion. $26.8 billion. Richest guy to ever come out of South Africa in modern times. And it seems so he's known for his Space.com. He's known for his links to PayPal. He's known for all these things. SpaceX, etc., but he comes from South Africa. And he's, as far as I can understand, he's actually a genuinely white guy. And I can't tell whether there are any Jewish links. I've never been able to find actual Jewish links to Elon Musk. But one of the things you'll notice about all the true whites on these lists, whether it's Musk, whether it's anybody else, Charlize Theron, who's in Hollywood, One of the things you'll find about all these whites who came from South Africa, not one of them will ever use their positions to ever talk about the problems and the fate of the whites in South Africa. They'll never talk about farm murders. They'll never talk about crime. Charlize Theron herself was meeting up with Mandela and all sorts of things. People in the early days when I got onto the internet and I started doing politics, there were many times when people said, you know, maybe some rich guy is going to do this and some rich guy is going to do that. And you know what? None of the rich will do anything, at least not openly. Whether they do things covertly ever, that is all big speculation. And I suspect that some of them, if you look at like PayPal, for instance, you know, Elon Musk, clearly PayPal being the piece of shit that it is, that it's constantly shutting people down. You've never heard Elon Musk complaining about that. So the bottom line with these people is that it's like I say, if you want to get rich, if you want to get really rich, you also have to be willing to sell your entire race down the, you know, basically flush your entire race down the lavatory and get in with all kinds of anti-white scum. And you will never find, no matter how rich and how powerful any of these people are, you will never ever find that any of them will ever do anything. They'll not do the slightest thing that can in any way at all help white people, even if it's the country they come from. Elon Musk, he is worth over 20 billion. I think it's 26 billion. Let me find it again. He is almost worth 27 billion US dollars. You'll never find him lift a finger, not even for the whites in the country that he came from. No loyalty, no nothing. These people are globalists, they're scum, they're sellouts to their race. And one of the things that these rich whites need to learn is they need to learn that one day there's going to be a reckoning. When the common white people of the world manage to one day get themselves out of this mess, that there's going to be a reckoning. And here in Germany in 2019, an angry German went and shot dead a German politician who was encouraging the bringing in of non-whites into Germany. So let that be an example of what is coming in the world, that when white people get sick and tired of it, and when the common whites manage against the odds to dig themselves out of their nightmare, that there's going to be a reckoning. And these billionaires and politicians who think that they can do anything, some of them are going to end up 6 foot under. And here's a little cartoon from Tom Metzger. It's about the day of the rope. And there are whites who've spoken about this a lot. This is a cartoon from Tom Metzger. It says, "Shape up, American, with the dynamic new Tom Metzger workout." And it says that fitness guru Tom Metzger. And all you need is a lamppost, 40 feet of good sturdy rope, and any Washington criminal politician. Just hook them up and hoist them. Beginners may want to start out with a few spindly young junior senators before graduating to old flabby lard asses like Ted Kennedy. So good luck, and remember, no pain, no gain. So that, my friends, is what should await the rich, scum-sucking pigs, and every one of them, a traitor to the race. They're only interested in their own bank accounts. Not one of them will assist anybody or anything. These are my websites, historyreview.com, africancrisis.info, and white-shop.biz. This is my attempt to try and do some Jew-free trading and experimenting with the next level of stuff. So, thank you very much for listening. We'll be chatting again soon. Take care of yourselves.